Reverend James Massey of the Office of Church Minister Relations of the Baptist General Association of Virginia is on our campus today. He is visiting for the purpose of interviewing seniors who wish a ministry in Virginia. He will be free from 11 until 12 o'clock this morning and later this afternoon. There's a luncheon for students from Virginia and students who are interested in going to Virginia in the cafeteria at 12 o'clock. These students will be his guests. He is available at the field education office. I have asked Jim, who's a real friend of the ministry everywhere and of this school, if he will lead us in our morning prayer at this time.
Let us pray. Father, we thank you for life. We thank you for this day. We thank you for the simple blessings that come our way. We celebrate the joys of love, of family, of worship and work and service. We thank you for the relationships that give meaning to life, for our relationship with thee, and for our relationships one with the other. We ask that thou wilt help us to recognize the truth around us as you reveal yourself in all the disciplines of knowledge and light. Save us, we pray, from pretentious piety, from judgmental spirits that cut us off from our opportunities to minister. Create in us, we pray, the incarnation of the Spirit of Jesus. Help us, we pray, never to see persons as objects of manipulation. Help us to be eager to serve, but keep us from that ambition that prevents our progress in service. Help us, we pray, to see our ministry not merely as career, but as opportunities to express love and feel love in return to thee and from thee. This we pray in the wonderful name of Christ, our Savior. Amen.
Luke 12, 34 and 35. Your heart will always be where your riches are. Be ready for whatever comes with your clothes fastened tight at the waist and your lamps lit. This is a personal message from an aging person to younger persons about the afternoon of life. Some of the most vivid memories I have at this moment have to do with sunsets. We were crossing the Atlantic on the motor ship Batory, 1947, on our way to the Baptist World Alliance. There were two or three sunsets that were as beautiful as anything that I have ever seen. We were standing on the rim of Grand Canyon, and there was a cloud in the distance. And on either side and beyond the cloud, above the top of the cloud, we could see the reddening rays of the setting sun, a never-to-be-forgotten scene. In Oslo, Norway, there was another such experience. In the mountains of Colorado, on a farm in Nash County when I was a boy, from the house and yard where I live at the present time, some of the never-to-be-forgotten pictures that still live in my memory are pictures of sunsets. As a minister, I have found some interesting people in their experience with the sunset of their own lives. I was visiting a friend in Mary Elizabeth Hospital in Raleigh a few years ago when he died. His wife had called me and asked me if I would go with her to the hospital. They had called and said that he could not live more than just a matter of minutes or maybe an hour or two. His mind was clear when we arrived. She stayed in a few minutes and she couldn't take it anymore. And then she asked me if I would stay with him. I said to him, knowing that this would probably be our last conversation, "Some of your friends have been very much impressed with your attitude towards people. You've always had a kind disposition and a good attitude. We've never heard you say mean and unkind things about people. You've lived an interesting life, haven't you?" He said, "Yes, God has been good to me." And he said, "You know, I decided many years ago that if I should expect other people to respect me, I would have to respect them. And I have honestly tried to respect every person whom I get to know." And just a few moments later, he was gone. I thought that was a beautiful way of going beyond the rim and beyond the setting of the sun into eternal destiny. I remember a godly woman many years ago in her late 80s who said to me one afternoon, "I won't be here long." I said, "Which daughter are you visiting next?" "Oh," she said, "I don't mean that. I've been in this world about long enough. I'll soon be going to heaven." A woman with a very simple faith, but a beautiful way of facing the sunset of her life. I was visiting a friend at Duke Hospital recently who's dying with cancer, and he wanted to talk about death. He said, "Garland, God has an interesting way of preparing us to die through suffering." He said, "I have now come to the place where I want to die, and every day I'm praying that God will take me soon." There can be something both beautiful and fascinating about the afternoon of life, including the latter part of it, as one goes out into eternity. Now, I have sense enough to know that Garland Hendricks has lived the larger part of his life here on earth. The morning of my life was filled with play, hard work, school, poverty, and church. We did have a good family life. And we worked hard, and we took an active interest in things that we thought were important. Then came the noonday period of my life, the late morning and noon and early afternoon. And that was so filled with activities that it was a mad rush. Preaching, writing, teaching, traveling, helping people with problems, and so on. Trying to get some children educated and whatnot. And then 2 years ago, my health came to what appeared to be its end. 75 days in 3 hospitals, intense suffering, 28 days without digesting any food, and I came to know in a new dimension the meaning of pain, suffering, frustration, anxiety. And I'm aware now that that was my beginning of my own second childhood. I told a friend the other day that the only difference in the two of us was that I admit I'm in my second childhood and he doesn't yet. He'll hit it sooner or later. And I've decided that I'm going to have a good time in my second childhood. Now, what is this afternoon of life all about? I believe that I have arrived at a satisfying Christian philosophy of facing what's ahead. And there are 3 things that I see ahead. 1, the body is wearing out. I lost a tooth last weekend, and I was reminded afresh of the meaning of pain. Hard pain. But I was reminded of something else. I mentioned this while we were eating a meal 2 or 3 hours later. And my son retorted, "Well, Daddy, how can you get to be a senile old man unless you lose your teeth?" And I'm not sure I know a good answer to that. Now, I'm not sure whether that's a generation gap or some good insight. It may just be some good solid insight. I have lost and regained a part of the strength in my hands, the grip in my hands, and the strength in my legs. I know what it means to have the eyes grow dim. 5 years ago, the natural processes no longer produced enough of the necessary materials to lubricate my eyes. And for 5 years, I have lubricated my eyes artificially. I never go anywhere without this little bottle of artificial tears. But I'm still seeing. I've learned to live with that. That's a part of the process of the body wearing out. I have to drink milk 7 times a day to keep my stomach working properly. But it works beautifully. In fact, my health is about as good now as it's ever been. But I had to make some adjustments and learn how to live a new way. Now, I've learned that the old body begins to give out, and that adjustments have to be made. And I've learned that not all of this is bad. For example, I have more time for family and friends. I have a new appreciation of health and strength. I can appreciate doctors and hospitals and medical science as I never did before. I'm learning to eat less food and enjoy it more and have a better understanding of what food is all about. I'm finding that it helps me to give more attention to the Bible and God and the spiritual aspects of life. Life in my second childhood, as I move towards the rim of the sunset, is glowing with more colorful rays of faith and hope and gratitude than was ever true earlier. The colors change and become more attractive. Second thing I've learned about life's afternoon is that values become different. Your heart will be where your riches are. I have a different set of riches now from what I did 10 or 20 or 30 years ago. The wife, the children, the grandchildren, friends, students, helping a pastor who's in trouble, helping a church find a leader. The slower rheumatic pace makes everything look different. I'm not rushing past as fast as I did when I was driving 1,000 miles a week for this seminary. And I've learned that there are some assets about changing values. More time to think, more time to rest, do more of what one wishes really to do. Material things become less significant and spiritual reality becomes more significant. And life glows with colorful rays of reflection, happy memories, inner peace, and deeper satisfactions. The third observation that I make as I move through my own afternoon of life is that the western horizon is more attractive and inviting. Our Lord says, "Be ready for whatever comes." As a boy, I worked morning, afternoon, and night, and I was growing into maturity and towards the middle of life. And then that active, more active period. And now, a slowing down process. What do I see in the horizon as I look westward at the moment? I see pleasant memories. And I'm learning that the more pleasant memories can come to the forefront of one's mind, and the more difficult ones have a way of fading into insignificance. I have a new appreciation for church and family and friends. I think more clearly about the little church that ordained me when I was 18 years of age and called me to be their pastor. The church that my wife and I came to soon after we left the seminary, that really helped us get on our feet during the later stages of the Depression. And the other churches that I worked in, and then Gardner Webb College and the experiences here. I have a new appreciation for life's opportunities and for church and friends and my faith. Another thing that's coming clear to me as I face the rim is a new faith in the future of mankind. I don't get as excited about the crises of life. For example, suppose there is a shortage of oil. Well, I know that there are other forms of energy, and I know that mankind has enough ingenuity to learn how to harness them. Suppose there is a world shortage of food, and there is obviously at the moment, maybe from now on. Well, I know that there's still land to cultivate, and I'm not too good to get my hands and feet dirty growing a garden. Faith in the future has come clearer to me. I've also learned that I can't understand the details of life, but I have an overview that helps me tremendously. I used to look at the details mostly, and now I'm trying to get a broader overview. And I know now that the Bible, especially the New Testament, deals in principles and leaves out a lot of the specifics, and that our Lord assumes that we will have sense enough to put in the specifics. I had a letter written on tablet paper from a man in Mississippi. "Dear Dr. Hendricks, will you please Let me know where that passage of Scripture is that says, once a deacon, always a deacon. And I knew what was going on in that church. So I wrote him back, dear brother so-and-so, the Bible tells us something about the requirements for the deaconship and something about how it all got started. And the Lord assumed that we would have sense enough to work out the details in every local church. That's the only thing I knew to say to him. Now, the details I cannot see, and I'm beginning to appreciate that. I used to try to put in all the details, but now there's more of an overview. And another thing I've learned is that the two basic human emotions may be more important than I had thought earlier. Now, that means the capacity for both weeping and laughing. I think both of them need to be woven together into a pattern that will give life balance and perspective. Now that I'm moving through the afternoon and towards the horizon, life has taken on new significance and new meaning. I decided, after I was getting better, recovering from my illness, that I would enjoy the rest of life better than I did my first childhood. For example, when I was growing up in my first childhood, we had to drive a mule hitched to a Hoover cart to get to church or anywhere else. Well, last year, I bought me a 16-year-old black sports model Cadillac. And by George, I'm having a good time with it. That's my play toy. And I'm going to drive that Cadillac the rest of the way towards the horizon. And when the fullness of time has come for me on this earth, I'm going to park it, get out and put my silk hat, cutaway coat on the front seat gently, and then I'm going to walk out into the valley of the shadows and face my eternal destiny. And when I knock on the gate, I hope that St. Peter will not say, you came to the wrong gate. Be prepared for whatever comes. That's my philosophy for the afternoon of life. May we stand? Eternal God, we pray that you will make our Christian faith a matter of being prepared for whatever comes in every circumstance of life. And help us, we pray, to keep the kind of perspective that will help us to walk through this world in a way that is worthy of a Christian, and then to face our destiny with thee in the same spirit and with the same dignity. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.